The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. You can write in and ask your own question through email, radio@faithalone.org. Today's question goes something like this. Does God make allowances for those who may misunderstand Jesus because they have been religiously abused, even in His name? What a great question. Comes from a thinker, someone who really is considering the things that are going on our program. And if that is you, someone who wants to learn more and has these deep types of questions, I hope that you will consider coming to our National Bible Conference. It's a great time each year to get together with other interested parties who want to learn from Scripture and have great, deep questions. You can find out more about that by going to faithalone.org and clicking on events. Well, let's get right to this discussion. This is Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for listening to Grace in Focus, especially if you are a regular or longtime listener. Thank you so much. According to my number here, we're fast approaching our 900th episode. So we're getting close.
Wow, that's great. And a shout out, I was just emailing Barkef Osigian at Capel Bible Fellowship.
Yes.
And he said, let Sean know I listen to your podcast almost every day and love it. So shout out to Capel Bible Fellowship and Barkef Osigian.
Yeah,
Osigian, I think, is Armenian, not
Arminian. Not Arminian, Armenian,
which Armenian is like Russian, but different.
No, the Armenian people are centuries old, the first nation to convert to Christianity before Constantine, before Rome or anything
really?
Like that. They were the first nation, and they've been endured so much persecution for their faith through the Muslims, through the communists, through the Turks are attacking them. So it's like, the Armenians have been through so much.
Uh-huh.
I love the Armenian people. Great businessmen.
Oh, yeah.
Great business culture.
See, in Southern California, where I'm from, there were a lot of Armenians. They had little colonies, just like the Serbians. I'm half Serbian, and they had colonies. So did the Armenians. And, and like the Serbians, they tended to hang together and do business together to help each other.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, here is a question from Mark. He says, I have a question. 12-step meetings helped me a lot after salvation, being adult children of alcoholics. Quite a number of people were religiously abused. And when they hear Jesus, they recoil because to them, he represents their abuse. Yet the God in the steps seems so close to Christ. Would God make allowances for them? Let me see if I can make sense of this. So, I mean, is he asking, does God make allowances for people who've come from a background of religious abuse, and so they have all kinds of hesitations about who Jesus is because maybe they've been abused in the name of Jesus?
Well, I'm also an adult child of an alcoholic, and I've read a lot of the literature on adult children of alcoholics and found it helpful, even though it's not coming from a Christian perspective, but it is coming from a spiritual perspective. And they do have some good insights into alcoholics and alcoholic families. And, you know, like I say, I found some helpful material there. Does God make allowances? Yes. But does that mean there's a different saving message for adult children of alcoholics? Absolutely not. The allowances he makes, he is certainly going to recognize that we're dust and that we're made from dust and that we're frail, and that those of us who grew up in abusive situations have a harder time, oftentimes at many steps, both as unbelievers and as believers. And so God can certainly manifest additional grace on those who need additional grace. But that still doesn't change the saving message. What it would mean, I think, for Mark is, okay, if you're at a 12-step meeting and he talks to someone about Jesus and they recoil at Jesus, but they like your higher power, right?
They like
the idea of a higher power. Well, then God can use that to continue to draw them to Christ. And over time, if they're open, they'll come to faith in Christ. But if they're not open, then they're not going to come to faith in Christ.
I wonder if it'd be like Paul at Mars Hill saying, hey, you Athenians, I can see you are a religious people.
Right.
You've got all of these statues, including here's one to the unknown God. Now, you seem to appreciate this unknown God. Let me use that as a cultural bridge. Now, let me tell you about him.
Right.
You know, so maybe God could use, someone could say, hey, you're interested in this higher power and the 12-step program? Let me tell you about who the higher power actually is.
Right.
But here, maybe this question means something else, though. Maybe Mark is really asking, does someone who is a believer, who's born again, but who has this background of abuse, and so it's affecting them in all kinds of ways, does God take that into account when evaluating their Christian life?
Absolutely, and I'm banking on that. Because I've been a Christian now for 50 years, and especially the first 20 or 30 years, I was working through a lot of these, they call them ACA issues, adult children of alcoholic issues.
Okay.
Control, trying to control others and trying to control the circumstances around me. And, you know, being a person who, you know, in many ways I've dealt with post-traumatic stress, and so I would react too strongly to things that other people wouldn't react to. And even in the last 20 years, I'm still working through lots of things. And so, yes, I rely on the fact that God is merciful to those who show mercy. So I try to show mercy to others. I learned this from Zane Hodges. He was based on James 2:13. And it seems to me if we're merciful to others, we're going to have more mercy at the judgment seat. But as a general answer to your question, yeah, God looks at all of us, not just like we're all cookie cutters,
yeah,
but he looks at us from where we started.
Right.
I often joke, some of us grew up in Ozzie and Harriet kind of households, which you wouldn't know because you never saw the TV show Ozzie and Harriet.
That's
but
true.
Ozzie and Harriet was a really
an ideal
sweet
couple of family,
show and a nice family.
Yeah.
But a lot of us grew up in Ozzy Osbourne kind of families.
Yeah.
Your circumstances are different than the people who grew up in this wonderful Christian home.
I actually know there was a show based on Ozzy Osbourne's family, and I think they're pretty much normal people.
Yeah.
So maybe not quite his stage persona. But let me ask this question, or maybe make this point. Although people do bad things in the name of Jesus, that doesn't mean you should blame Jesus for those things.
That is a great point.
I mean, there's been what people do and what Jesus taught are two different things. Okay? And you have to be mature enough, I guess, to be able to make that distinction. Let's say you had a horrible math teacher. Your math teacher was just terrible. Does that mean you're going to reject mathematics because of what your math teacher did in high school?
I hope not.
I mean, most people have enough sense to know that, okay, this guy was a bad person, and that doesn't reflect on mathematics itself. It's just that I had a bad experience with this person.
Right.
And maybe you'll just always hate math because of that one teacher, and that's just the emotional reaction you have. But hopefully, part of maturing is you'll be able to distinguish, you know, what the teacher did versus what the subject is. And the same thing with Jesus. Just because someone acts horribly to you in the name of Jesus, you need to be mature enough to see that, no, he was acting in Jesus' name, but he or she was acting totally inconsistent with what Jesus taught.
Right. And the other issue, which I've seen a lot, is most people don't have trouble with Jesus. They have trouble with God the Father, because if they had a problem with their own father, then they have a problem with Jesus referring to God as his father,
right,
or our Father who art in heaven.
Right.
If they have a negative view toward their own father, they often carry that over to God.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a mistake, too.
Yes.
But regardless of whether you're looking at Jesus and bringing in bad attitudes because, well, in your own situation, your mother was going through lots of issues, and yet she talked a lot about Jesus, but that had to be hard on you.
Yeah, I mean, her approach to telling people about Jesus was probably in many cases the exact wrong thing, you know, Bible
right,
thumping, hit you
right,
over the head, condemning you type of approach. And if you didn't know anything about Jesus, you'd be like, wow, these Christians can be really horrible.
Right.
And it's true, we can be really horrible. That's why we need Jesus.
Amen.
He's good. He's perfectly good. And we're sinners kind of in need of forgiveness. And we're trying to grow. But I don't know, if you've had a bad experience by someone hurting you in the name of Jesus, I pray for you, and I hope you can disentangle your experience from what Jesus
taught. That's a good way of putting it, because Jesus loves us. I love the song, Jesus Loves the Little Children, and I think of myself as one of the little children. He loves me. He went to the cross for me. He
right,
went to the cross for you. He went to the cross for everyone in the world. And so that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
We need to recognize that he's the good shepherd.
Yes.
He cares for his sheep.
Yes.
And so get away from any bad modeling you had growing up.
Right. I truly believe that the enemy, one of his favorite tactics, and by the enemy I mean the devil, I mean Satan, one of the enemy's favorite tactics is to use Christians or to use people who call themselves Christians to do bad things and therefore bring shame to the name of Jesus. You know, I think about, I'm not Roman Catholic at all, and I don't support the Roman Catholic Church, and I think they preach a false gospel, but I do sympathize in this way. Here they are, they're teaching, you know, about love, about against abuse, and then they have people sneak into their church, do the very thing that the church is teaching against, and then people blame the Roman Catholic Church for all the abuse that has happened.
Well, let me throw out this, Sean. I think you're on to something exactly right there, and that is, let's bring it down to you and me. Don't we want to make sure that we ourselves are not being a stumbling block to our own children,
yes,
to our parents, to our brothers and sisters, to our neighbors, to the people in our church, to our spouses? We don't want to bring shame to the name of Jesus ourselves.
Yeah.
So let's not just be looking at other people and pointing our finger and going, well, you know, my dad or my mom or my aunt, they were not.
Yeah.
Let's bring it to us. Let's honor Jesus in our lives.
I'm raising kids, and I just wonder, how are they going to remember my parenting, and what are they going to think about Jesus through my parenting?
And that's the right question to be asking.
Yeah. Change starts with me. So it's like, you know.
And by the way, Sharon was watching something you put on Facebook or something where Scout was cooking something, and she's what, five
or
something?
Making some
and
chooks,
Sharon's
yeah.
like, I feel so jealous. She said, my mom never taught me to cook, not when I was five, not when I was 15.
Yeah.
And she said, I wish she had, because if she'd taught me to cook, I'd be able to cook better today.
Right. Now, if only I could teach them to clean.
Well, that's little steps, baby steps.
Well, thank you for the question, Mark. I hope this encourages you. And if you have any follow-up questions to what Bob has said or to what I might have said, send them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other free grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other free grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about why so many Christians stop attending church. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.